Blog Talk Radio.
Dr. King, and he
give that keen counsel. Now, we with Reverend Dunlap, Reverend Hatchett, and we was marching on the west side. Tim Black came over to the West Side organization. John Thurston and Tim Black said, this is what we need to do, the march. And he was a great strategist. And he did a lot for Chicago. Blacks don't even know. And he marched on the Willis wagons. He marched on the west side. And they had to ride on the west side. Tim Black was there. Dr. King got killed. Tim Black was there. So we honor Tim Black tonight. And I don't know when they're going to have his film, but Tim Black was Chicago Black Godfather. And what I mean by that, in civil rights, Daley had to meet with him and Dr. King. Then he had to meet, he told Obama what to do, told Jesse Jackson what to do. And you can name the names that Dr. Tim Black worked for. And we honor him tonight, and God let him have a long life, 102 years old.
There's a little song that we sing in our movement down in the South. I don't know if you've heard it, but it has become the theme song. We shall overcome. We shall overcome. Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome. Though I join hands so often with students and others behind jail bars singing it, we shall overcome. Sometimes we've had tears in our eyes when we joined together to sing it, but we still decided to sing it. We shall overcome. No, before this victory is won, some will have to get thrown in jail some more, but we shall overcome. Don't worry about us. Before the victory is won, some of us will lose jobs, but we shall overcome. Before the victory is won, even some will have to face physical death. But if physical death is the price that some must pay to free their children from a permanent psychological death, then nothing shall be more redemptive. We shall overcome. Before the victory is won, some will be misunderstood and called bad names and dismissed as rabble-rousers and agitators. But we shall overcome. And I'll tell you why. We shall overcome because the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. We shall overcome because Carlyle is right. No lie can live forever. We shall overcome because William Cullen Bryant is right. Truth crushed to earth will rise again. We shall overcome because James Russell Lowell is right. Truth forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne. Yet that scaffold sways the future. Behind the dim unknown standeth God within the shadow, keeping watch above his own. We shall overcome because the Bible is right. You shall reap what you sow. We shall overcome. Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome.
That was Dr. Martin Luther King saying that we shall overcome. Killings and the shooting that's going on with the girl in Detroit got beat down and killed black on black by 1718. And what happened here in Chicago, shooting in the school, there's no white shooting, it was black on black shooting black folks. What I'm saying tonight, Dr. Tim Black was 102 years old. You got some teenagers ain't going to make it to 10 years old or 12 or 16 because they got so much violence on their mind. Anytime a young guy's 16 go steal a car, put a pistol on a senior, take the car, run out of gas, send to the mothers that got these kids, you need to know where they at at night. You need to go in their room and see what's going on in their room. They're staying with you. You got stick-up men and murderers walking among us. I mean, they 13 and 14 shooting people. And my thing is that politicians can do so much, but parents got to do your job. Dr. Tim Black was 102. We honor him tonight. And Dr. Henry Clark was a historian. And Dr. Ben, and I got both of them coming on tonight. And Dr. Henry Clark talking about how the church sabotaged us. Yeah, the church. How the church ripped us off. And the Europeans gave us the religion, and they stole the gold, the copper, the zinc. Africa is rich, but everybody lived as poor. European interests got South Africa sold up. You know, Mandela got out of prison, but the white folk owned 87% of the land. And they're not 2% of the people. They call them African white folks. You know, just like the Ku Klux Klan here, skinhead, same folks. When Mandela got out, first thing he should have said, give us our land back. 87% of the land was owned by white folks. And the white folks were 10%. They have maneuvered and tricked and got all the land, the copper, the diamond. Where do you think diamonds come from? Where do you think gold comes from? Silver comes from? Right in South Africa. If South Africa was getting the money, the European nations would pay South Africa with it wouldn't be nobody starving in Africa. It wouldn't be nobody hungry in Africa. But they done come and stole all the resources from Africa. All the resources is in Europe. They were so bad they dug the grave up and decimated the graves and took statues and pots and put them in the museum. Took your ancestors, our ancestors, put them in the museum. That's how brutal that the devil is and Hitler's playbook. And now I wanted to share that with you tonight with Dr. Tim Black was a professor. Civil rights man, a down to earth man. He gave so many concerts, so many people went to college on account of him. Lots of people didn't drop out on account of Tim Black. And Tim Black told me one time I was marching Market Park. He said, Bishop, don't stop marching. You don't seem like you're getting away. We would march every evening from Timbuktu Alvin, William Jackson. Erica Jackson from his place. Mama Annie Bacon Ford used to cook meals and feed all the demonstrators of 71st Street all the way over past the Knoxville headquarters back in the day. And then Dr. King came to town in March. And Tim Black was right there with Dr. King. Tim Black taught Jesse Jackson a lot. Gave time. He might not listen to all of it, but he gave it to him. Ben Branch. And I could go on and that Dr. Tim Black helped. But tonight I want to do a little bit of Dr. Henry Clark. And Dr. Henry Clark got some good things to say about civil rights, about where we at. And you got to know where you at as a black man. You got to know where you at as a black woman. You got to know where you at as a citizen of the world. And the Bible, you know, when I read the Bible now, I understand it was set up to block us. They take it and spin it, but you can't spin the truth. The truth going to come out. I'm going to say this. This is Bible class night. I want to say this. All the evil that's been going on all them years is coming out. Trump had to come and go. Obama had to come and go. Bush come and go. We got Biden now. And his truth coming out. He sent two plane loads of Haitian back to Haiti. Did nothing. I'm asking every family, don't you listen to me carefully. If every family in America or your church adopt a Haitian family, that's the only way we're going to get them in. that they ain't gonna love me because of the color of their skin. But since we already him, I got a young lady call me and she gonna adopt a Haitian family. And then they when she called, and that's really shocked. You wanna white folks been adopting black folks getting rich. And so they're doing it now. But if every black can take their head out there and go and say, I want to adopt a Haitian family, not the one that, but the, I want to adopt one that they sent back. I want to adopt the mama, the daddy, the sons, and the, put them in school. You can afford it. You can afford it. I'm talking to you tonight. You read the Bible, God, and you don't even lift a hand or finger. You watch it on the news and that's all. You don't get involved. But everybody can get in, your wife, your husband, the family, call down the Mississippi, call out the, yeah, we got three Haitian families that we want to place. It ain't the government job, no way. It's the church job to feed the hungry. It's the church job to see about the widows. That's the church's job. But it ain't been doing the job. They've been getting money from the government to build bigger churches, nursing homes, and anything else they want to build. And they're getting money from the government to buy planes, Rolls Royce, Lamborghini, whatever it is. But the people that is lacking is the people on the outside looking in. You know, I know I have some churches I went to in Detroit, pretty church on the inside, but every house rotten, tore down. I was like, come to pass, don't get a program together to rebuild, put these houses back on the tax roll. This is the thing we got to do. We got to start doing for self. And once we started doing for self, things are straightened out. I've got about a 5 minutes of Dr. Henry Clark.
Take a month, even a year, then I might not be the one to do it. It's difficult for ambition to understand that whosoever God is, it's not them. I can't make a hurricane. I can't stop a hurricane. I think we as a people overdo God's business. We overload God. He has equipped us 2 feet from the hell out of the way of things. I see what kind of expenses we should call in on him so much. Because, after all, he must make spring in one side of the world, once in another part of the world, and fall on another part, have ice in one part, rain on the other part, and watch those fishes in the sea. You must watch that sparrow who don't know what limb he wants to bite on or what song he wants to sing. So why can't you do something for yourself with the equipment that he's given you? Now, my notes for tonight deal with the African world under siege. We are the most potentially powerful people in all the world, and yet we have not used our power. We have let people develop something called a new world order without consulting a single one of us, not knowing that the great wealth comes out of a continent that is ours by every law of God and man. And if we were united within Africa, if the Organization of African Unity had some unity, they could say, there will be no new world order until you consult me. You get no diamonds, you get no gold, you get no manganese, you get no cobalt. You get nothing out of this continent. And we can pull Western industry to a seat without buying a shot. And we don't have to call this a fourth house. Call it selective buying and selling. We'll be selective about who we buy from, selective about who we sell to. And when we can control commodity markets, based on the essence of power will be respected in the arena of power. The essence of power, no matter what the government is and no matter what the time is, the essence of power is the ability to include and exclude. That's all it boils down to. Who goes here? And with whose permission? No matter what kind of government you live in, you have to, you stop at this gate, give an account of yourself, or you won't go first. Throughout the whole world, our enemy has either been at the gate, in the house, or in the bed. Because we have not been able to control our enemy. Because we have been hospitable to strangers. We have not asked the strange, what is your mission in our house? We have not done what the old black father used to do when the father was truly an image in the house. He comes to call his daughter. On the third visit, the daughter don't show up. Father comes to the living room and looks you over. He says, what's your attention for my daughter? You don't give him an answer. Your daughter continues to be late. You don't come there anymore. Now, what? We've got a whole continent. Never been defended in the territory. He's been able to just walk in. Take what they want. Why have we asked these strangers while you're in the house, whose side are you going to be? And if I'm not satisfied with your answer, the door over there, the one that let you in, will let you out. Now, I want to take a holistic look at Africa. On the sea, not just in Africa, but all over the world. I will take a look at the propaganda against our mind. Make some of us think that we belong to a separate race and fell off the moon. We are all one single people. There's only one single African people. Though some of them might live on some specks of dust in the Caribbean Sea, some of them might live in Georgia. Some of them might live in Africa. There's only one African people, and we have one enemy. And that enemy has one intention, to control us and our mental wealth, to control our show lives, and through propaganda, control our minds. Now, this thing started in the 1700 BC. It continued through the invasion of Western Asia. 1675 BC. For 2,000 years, the enemies of Africa came from Western Asia, mistakenly called the Middle East. And what did they do? What was their collective empire was to take away from the African mind through propaganda, the concept that the Africans could control us safely. Or people take away from you the idea of controlling a state, they take away the container of your culture, your hope. They take away the gift you have to give to your child, to their children in turn. You are motherless and a fatherless child, specifically in the world, when someone takes away from you the cover, your clothing, your culture clothing, your political clothing, idea of controlling a state all by yourself. And you forget that half of civilization, half of history was old before anyone knew that a European was in the world. What makes you think you need him so much? the people. We have to stop playing games with each other. We have to stop identifying with our oppressor and our colonial master and identify with ourselves as an African people. We have to take our nose out of the air. Stop boasting about our gesture or Scottish grandfather and uncle. We have to stop saying we are British all. England don't want you as anything other than servants. America don't want you as anything other than servants. Because all of these colonial masters you had want you only as servants after they've had you as slaves. When you identify with them, you're identifying with the people who raped your grandfather, grandmother. You are demeaning your children, still to be born. Today you have a fight between the Francophone Africa and the Anglophone Africa. Who is superior? They're both talking about French culture and English culture. They're both talking about an oppressive culture. They don't argue about African language. Now, who speaks Wolof? Who speaks Zulu? Who speaks Ashanti? Who speaks French? Who speaks English? They both got their nose in the air looking down on each other. Only foreigner's language is not their mother tongue. Who the hell cares about either one of them? Language is a utility. Learn as many languages as you can. It's an employment calling card. Don't get so romanticized because you speak French, you are French. And because some Scottish man raped your grandmother, don't think that you are Scottish. You are the victim of a Scotsman. You're the victim in as much as he infused his blood into your family against your will. Now, the question is, how do we break this peace? But let's stop playing games with each other. What Reverend Sullivan is trying to do marginally beneficial if you handle it right. But you have to understand the difference between pan-capitalism and pan-Africanism. Pan-capitalism, American corporations dominating the wealth of Africa. Pan-Africanism is African people throughout the world controlling the wealth of Africa. In every country in Africa, without any exception, all of the wealth-producing resources are in European or white control. Ghana, I discovered that the Ghanaians are selling the gold mines in South Africa to open house. The selling has finished the sale. Their commercial bank, system of commercial banks, carefully built by Western trained Ghanaians, will be sold to National City. They devaluated the money while we were there. Now, if you can't make a decision about the wealth of your country, a foreigner will decide whether you take the soldiers, make it ready, and sooner or later, they're going to demand your land as collateral. But when people take your land, they take away your nation. Land is the basis of nation. This is why I have not gotten so dewy eyes over Nelson Mandela. nor new wine. This one thing we have to get through ourselves. We will share in Africa only to the extent that someone shares with us in Europe. And if we think we're going to go down the NAPP route, we just got to have one near us. So we're going to buy this bag of one called integration before we integrate into ourselves. There's not enough head examiners to set us straight. I'm not interested in Africa sharing with foreigner who was an invader in the first place, uninvited in the second place. In the South Africa, in the rest of Africa, I'm interested in Africa's home. Now, if anybody lives in Africa, and this includes the Arabs, who cannot live under Africa's rule, show him the nearest airport or transportation point, tell him to find some other geography to live. But nobody came into Africa to do Africa in his face. And everybody, everything that was brought into Africa from the outside in Africa was on the good. Now this might break a whole lot of people's hearts because you got some romance about these different religions. Judaism, Christianity, and Islam was a handmaid of impurity, a conscious belief. What made you think you needed it in as much as if you read St. Augustine, in his interpretation of the conflict in Nicaea, he says these people are trying to give us a religion we had 3,000 years ago. If you read John Jackson, Man, God, and Civilization, Pagan Origins of the Christ Myth, you will discover that had Christ rose 2,000 years before, he could have read his own autobiography. You took him up and placed him inside of an already existing text, copied from Apple. I'm not saying the Bible is not good. I'm saying it's a series of interpositions. It's an illustrated lesson. But if you think the illustration is true, then you need to examine history. Then you need to ask some questions. How is the soil to plant grapes one day, drink the wine the next day? It takes 3 weeks the wine to get ready. Ferment the grapes to get ready to make the wine. He got his wine the next day. What makes you think that a people have to leave Africa by the sea, hard to let them out, when there was a 16-mile land bridge, they walked in, why can't they walk out? Somebody needed a dramatic story, dramatized the fit of that slavery in Africa. When they were actually gassed, Africa's home, Africa saved them from hunger. When they associated themselves with the conquerors of Africa, the Africans said, now you got to go. Dramatized, they said they were slaves in Egypt. And anytime anybody said he was slaves in Egypt, ask them what period. Under what administration? The period when they were supposed to be slaves was the period when Egypt was conquered from the Western Asia. If they were slaves at all, then I doubt it. They were slaves under foreign domination. If we are not to blame. People can accuse for being, having them enslaved with one breath, say that he gives them a white in the next breath. Now come on, get your lives together. I'm a Baptist son of a teacher. I still have absolute respect for the Baptist church because it's close to ceremony than any other church. I'm also brave enough to admit that certain faults is loud and wrong. And I also like to admit being loud and wrong, sometimes corrupt, taking out singing and message to everything. Back to work, because we suffer today over a lot of things we haven't looked back at. We are imitating people who are imitators. We follow a people who don't know where they are going. Look at Europe today. If we had enough army, all we would need to conquer Europe was shoes. Europe is laying awake, open for conquest. If the Africans who invaded Spain in 7/11, when they marched to the door of Paris, then changed their mind and went back to the next of you, Cadiz, head of their faith. When they came back to Spain, they changed their mind about conquering Europe. Africans could have conquered all of Europe. They had the army to do it. Why don't we kick people when they're down and take advantage of people when they're in a difficult position? We have the humanity not to do it. Why did someone spare us? So they like to do it. Just this day, because I'm writing the text for illustrating the history of slavery, I was dealing with holding behind slavery that we have not looked at. Contradiction that we have not looked at. What they deprived us of was the concept of the state. Now, the Greeks, then the Romans were so corrupt, they created a value, and a camel boy began to grumble. He asked for reform. Didn't get reformed, he asked for a new religion. That religion was Islam. It's a pity most of the Muslims haven't even studied it, they haven't even read the Quran as well. Because the Africans thought that the Arab would get the Romans off of their back. They were right. The Arab got the Roman off of his back and respects the Roman on his back and he's still on his back. The Arab was in the slave trade before Islam. The Arab was in the slave trade 1,000 years before the European slave trade. People will not deal with this because they will not deal with honesty. All religions, all fraternities, all everything that touches your life must be an instrument of your liberation, or you must throw it into the ash can of history. We have no time for ceremony without substance. We must be led back to where we fell from, the control of the state, all by ourselves. Not the imitator of our colonial masters or our slave masters. This is our crisis all over the world. Why then is it that all of the wealth-producing resources of Africa, with no exception, controlled by Europeans? They have convinced your mind that you cannot control the wealth of your own country. You cannot control the gold that comes from the ground in your own country. You cannot make the ships manage the harbor in your own country. So long as you do not believe this, you're going to turn this over to other people. And you need to study the history of the rise of modern Japan. When Mary went and kicked over the door, great Japanese educator, Baron Tanaka, called the young people from Japan together. He will accept this humiliation we'll work ourselves out of it. But it won't happen again. We'll send our children to all of our schools. And they did this. By 1905, they had mastered enough technique to take on Russia. Kick Russia's butt. People started to leave them alone. They started a concept called the Yellow Field. They were making the aeroplanes, everything. And not a single Japanese came home. Now, someone needed to disrupt the Africans coming to the West. But if you bring a wife home, she should look like you. These other people don't fit into our culture, don't fit into our society. Send you away to find romance. I sent you away to develop technique and design a procedure that will make this nation free of foreign domination. Trained in England, come back, you're an engineer for the collar tie on. Good engineers don't wear no collar tie on the job after hours, because good engineers do not just tell you what to do, they show you what to do. If you got to lay a pipeline, they demonstrate with their own hands how to do it. Once you catch on, then you standardize and look at it. Many times we go abroad, we come home, African bodies, foreign minds, sometimes a foreign woman. But the foreign woman has a program. She's a spy in your camp, and a spy in your bed. She's an element of control. Now, I've met a few that I advocate. I do not advocate pan-capitalism either, because I know that capitalism was based on the money, the resources they captured from the slave trade. I know the whole of the Western world is might was based on this, because I've studied Europe, okay, history of Europe clutching for something in the East, sweet, ice, and something to put on that large down all of European food. The slave trade saved the economy of Europe. The slave trade buried, but the slave trade is still intact. Because we are not listening to our greatest messengers. We are dependent on other people. If they take a holiday, we don't know where to get a loaf of bread in our own neighborhood. But if we ran the stores, we would keep some stores open. We have to develop the concept of making jobs for each other, because we are being pushed out of basic jobs. I'm not talking about high-tech jobs now. I'm talking about stewardship on the railroad. Bell captain. Head waiter. Many black men educated a generation with these ships. The job these white people being a strategic Uncle Tom. There's a difference between the Tom and a strategic Uncle Tom. Your regular Tom, he's been found for listen to stuff. But a strategic Tom will get something out of that. Talk to his wife, feed them, talk about his boy in college. Finally, he says, you know, I've got my boy, he's out growing up. Maybe your boy can like a computer. Talk to him for a few things, maybe they can take a tell them how good the boys are, they're going to be. contribute $50, you know, for me time. Go to barber shop, he's brushing them all, you know, and complimenting them. Go to the metal beans on his breath. So you have to study anything. You just last on the thing, you don't speak on the
book of the Bible. The proverb from the Pharaoh Amenioch. A-M-E-N-E-O-P-E. Who died 1,000 years before Solomon was born and taught all of those so-called proverbs that Solomon and the other Jews know. Before Moses, they said that Moses gave the word monotheism, an African by the name of Amen who kept the foot. Amen. Who said? Poor, otherwise called Athanasius, who died more than 49 years before the birth of Moses, spoke about a one and only true God named Aten, A-T-E-N. The man that got rid of his army in nonviolence. A man who got rid of his army because he didn't believe in violence. Dr. King should not have gone to Mohandas Karamchand Gandhi in India. Gandhi himself, they should have read it. And the picture doesn't tell it. Spoke of where he got the idea of a method of nonviolence as a strategy by reading the works of Athanasius. But they couldn't put a picture of Athanasius because that even you won't go to it. Because, you see, when you get a chance to make a film, the other day in the 60s, what you made, badass sweet back, showing a black woman with a front wide open and a cameraman with a telephoto lens, deep down in that woman. That's the way you treat the black woman. When you got a chance to make a film, many are prostitutes, and everybody in the film will prostitute. Did you make another film, Cleopatra Jones? And you had a machine gun inserted to the woman's vagina, shooting bullets. That's how you show your black woman. There's no film on Cleopatra. There's no film on Anzinga. There's no film on Harriet Tubman or Rosa Parks. No film on Makeda, which you call the Queen of Sheba. No film on Hatshepsut. Oh, those names you don't know all, right? But you know all the white names. You know Betsy Ross and all the Rosses. You know Virginia Beer and all the little theories. And you never ask. You never ask the question. How come? All people take their race from their mother. I hate to disappoint you, brother. But you know, like they all say, I am mama's baby. I am daddy's baby. There's no doubt about who my mama is. You can't hide that one. So hide it, you have to get rid of it. The Lord let me come. Everybody know? That's mama. And so we inherit from our mamas. But you see, we didn't used to be dead yet. See, nobody had told us that she's ugly. Nobody had told us that her natural sweet hair. Lord, it feels so good to run your hand to one of them woolly hair that them sisters got. Sister, if you got a woolly hair, keep it. Don't you put no egg and champagne and beer and Coco Rico and all that kind of stuff, and then hard liquor, dye, just thing as the scare all. But I know what you're doing, sis. Don't get mad with me now. I know what you're doing. Do it because that damn fool don't know how good looking you are without you doing that. He wants to look European as much as possible, and you're doing it. You know what? That's a sucker. If you don't want to win, just get lost. further that Tesla started the slave trade to the west in 1506 on an island now called Hispaniola, shared by Haiti and Santo Domingo. How many churches said when the Haitians were dying at the beach there in Florida? How many ministers say, wake up! But no, you're rising up for the Koreans and the Vietnamese, not realizing that the first place they brought you, the boats did not come straight from Africa here. Neither there. We were in Hispaniola. We were in Iberia Peninsula from 711. 711 AD to 1485 before we lost power. We have even built, gave Europe its first university, the University of Salamanca in Spain. We created the first educational system. Today, after we lost power, they took the first 4,000 of us and carried us to the island of Hispaniola. 1506, it was not until 1519 or 20 that the first group of us came from Barbados. Barbados to Virginia. And we came as professionals, architects, engineers, lawyers, and two doctors, and so forth. I do not know, in closing, what is this you feel sad about? With a history like this behind you, how could you be sad? But I know, you gotta be sad. You didn't know. And I've just touched the first line of the first sentence of a billion sentences to talk about you. To talk about how great you are. You say, well, if I'm so great, how can I get it like this? God's power, that has nothing to do with Christianity. They said that the Africans ate the Christians, missionaries. Oh, what a shame we did not. Let me tell you, it is never too late. The man who mistreated us knew what he was doing. Why should we now say, well, after all, he's the child of God? Isn't it strange that when somebody dies, all of a sudden they become good? Beat a woman all day of his life, kick her, starve her, and when he died, they said that she's dead. God, I'm so glad to kill him. I wish I had the chance. The minister tell her to say, well, after all, he's God's child. Don't you beat your backside? Or have you got to so modern that you let the child knock the hell out of you and don't want to hurt his ego? Not my children. My children get not just a beating. And their ego is damaged because I want it damaged. I beat them to hurt the ego. So that when he gets 18, he doesn't have an idea of messing with me because he knows that if he can do it, he's going to die. If he raises a hand, any animal that starts with young, then why not us? Yes, we cannot go there voting for Wallace. He doesn't want to get caught because somebody's stabbing his back. But there you are.
Rise and fall of kings and kingdoms, of great battles and great warriors, of great triumphs and ancient traditions. These records, so proudly passed on from generation to generation, were fragile by nature and fell victim to European expansion. Today, these records have all but disappeared. Yet many clues to African history remain buried under the ground, or are still alive in the surviving cultures and traditions of Africa.
This story
the quest to uncover a great era in classical history, one that is 1,000 years old, but is known only to very few.
A 1,000 years. Every people on this planet must have a mission. And the main mission that Malcolm X and others have told you repeatedly, God has told you, gain the land. But without land, there is no nation. Now, I am a little less enthusiastic about Nelson Mandela because he has not asked for the return of the man. When he came to power, the whites controlled 87% of all the land in this country. They still control 87% of the land. Until you call for of the land, we share with you, trade with you as much land now as you will trade with me in your. If I have your land, then you have no African land. And when Africa is fully cultivated, agriculture, mineral wealth, gold, magnesium, cobalt. When these things are cultivated, that should be poor Africa and no hungry Africa. Now these things are being cultivated for other people. What I'm speaking to is the very concept of nation seems to have eluded us. It will elude us so long as we ask foreigners to come to our country. Over a nation, we must have made inventory of what's going on. A nation.